Alpha,
you know what I need.
Teenagers with attitude.
That's correct, Alpha.
Teenagers with attitude.
Welcome to Teenagers with Attitude, the show where a bunch of grown adults sit around and talk about teenagers in tightly colored clothing fighting monsters, usually, or sometimes they go on dates, which is what
happened. Oh, is that what that was?
Is that a date?
It's like a date. I mean, in some, it's like what a screenwriter might think a date would be if they'd never been on one.
What they think, like, a small child would perceive a date as being.
Yeah, we can talk about it when we get to it.
Yeah, there's probably a few layers of that going on.
So, for now, though, I'm Zach, and joining me this week, we've got Luke.
Hi!
We've got Mike.
Hi, and I just realized my mic was way up super high. Sorry about that.
No, you're Mike. That's your name.
Yeah, and apparently he's up super high.
Yeah, it was.
Okay,
I was levitating. That was a problem.
No, we can't start like this. Can we?
We've got Joel. No, we're not over. Starting over. We're not starting over.
Leave, then.
Okay, bye.
Well, it was nice seeing you, Luke.
We've got Joel.
Yeah, that's me. I'm the one who always derails these things.
And we've got Molly back.
Hey, hi.
So, Molly, we haven't had you on in a while, and I would like to know if you've had any...
Don't.
Luke,
wait, I'm sorry?
You can't do this.
It's gonna be no, Zach.
You can't just stop me. I'm gonna keep asking until someone says yes.
She's okay. Not gonna say yes.
Molly, have you had any Power Rangers-related activities in your life since last time you were on the show?
Not Power Rangers-related. I'm excited for the new Sentai. I'm gonna watch that.
Okay.
See? Yeah, that looks real cool.
That's tangentially related.
See, fuck you, Luke. How about that?
No, that's not. That's nothing.
That's not Power Rangers related, though. Yeah. I'm gonna give Luke that.
I mean, it might be in a couple of years.
You know, I'm trying to remember. Was the last time you were on before or after Jules finally got you to watch Forze?
I finished Forze last May. So
I think it was after.
The last episode I was on for this, the main line of this show, was season 2, episode 1.
Yeah.
Because I had to try and get you all into better shape for a second season of your show, which did not work.
No.
No. After a year, I think you would have understood that we are unfixable.
I was just trying to help.
Listen,
it didn't work.
There's nothing wrong with us. We're fine just the way we are. That's what Power Rangers has sort of
That's the opposite of what it's taught us.
Is that what they taught you? Because, boy.
That is the opposite of what it taught us.
Zach, if we're anyone from the show, we're Bulk and Skull, like, collectively.
Yeah, probably. Well, that means we get to be cops in next season, right? So...
Is that next
why would you want to be a cop?
well, okay, technically they're junior police, which I'm pretty sure is not a real thing. But, so I guess I completely lost where we are. Okay, yes, the new Sentai looks pretty cool. We've talked about it a little bit, but the, like, constellation theme is pretty fucking awesome. And also... the fact that I don't know if we talked about it before because I'm pretty sure they had only shown the suits, but like half the Rangers are aliens, so they're still in.
There are three aliens, there are three robots, and there are three humans.
Yeah, that's
now,
cool.
What are the odds that all of the non-humans get human-like forms shortly after the show starts so that they can cut down on their effects budget.
That's how they did it in Juoger.
Yeah, I mean, like, that,
right,
oh my god, what are you saying?
Juoger? Juoger? Huh?
Zach, repeat
after
me.
Listen, Juoger. It's not that hard.
There's a reason he hosts the Power Rangers podcast, not the Super Sentai podcast.
Juoger.
Oh, you're going too hard. I'm going to stop.
I did. Okay. I tried my best. But yeah, that's what they did in that show, which was a bummer because I loved the animal suits they had.
The animal suits were kind of
I mean,
ugly.
It also gave the actors a chance to like actually emote and stuff, and it was pretty cool because the cast of Juoger was really good.
Yeah, their cast was really good. And they're all very cute, so it was way cuter when they were not animals.
Well,
which is weird.
Maybe. For other people,
I mean, whatever floats your boat, I guess. I'm not here to judge.
Well,
if you like really weird anthropomorphic animals, you fucking good on you. Go get it.
You want to live out your furry fantasies? Watch specifically the first episode of Juoger and the last episode of Juoger.
God, it's so weird. I thought they would for sure they would have it like most of the time, but it really was like all.
No, they were
the
just
time.
Humans with tails all the time.
Yeah. Which, that's probably more people's thing, I guess, but...
yeah, I was gonna say, like, Amu had she was just a cute girl with a cat tail, so, you know, get it, I guess.
So I have some talking about things stuff to talk about this week, which is
forgot that's
you
what
have
we do now.
For talking about things?
Because so many people complained about the different names I had, including Morphag Nominal and Morphag Newsnimal, so we just started calling it Talking About Things. Because
we bring stuff and junk to the table.
Yeah, we're talking about stuff, junk, things, whatever. It's all basically the same.
How'd you forget the name of a weekly segment?
Because I'm bad.
Not
at
you. You remembered it.
Okay.
I do like that we leveled your criticism, but Zach just immediately assumed it was at him.
I mean, that's how it usually goes. I don't
given
know
the
if
show.
You noticed. So I have two things. The first is there's a new poster out that shows for the movie that shows, more detail, I guess, the Zords, and like a fuller body version of them.
Remember when we said we were probably done talking about this until the film was out?
Well, I'm not going to give any more movie criticism. This is more about the fact that fucking Triceratops clearly has four legs. And toy definitely has six. It definitely has six.
We have observed with previous posters that their attention to detail and presentation is, let's say, lacking.
So here's my question.
The last poster when the Sabertooth Tiger Zord looks like it was like 80 stories tall?
Yeah, that's true.
I will give up the extra two legs on... Which one did you just say? The Triceratops. I will give up those extra two legs as long as the Mastodon has eight. I need the Mastodon to have eight legs. Thank you.
It ruins the entire thing if the Triceratops doesn't have six because it's got this weird, like, incremental leg thing.
Oh, right. It was like 0, 2, 4, 6, 8.
But that was never anything but a coincidence.
Yeah.
I know it wasn't. I know it was just a coincidence, but the coincidence is what made it work for me.
Mm. Now, you say the 2, 4, 6, 8 thing. I'm going to need the pterodactyl to have 10 legs.
No, it has zero. It has zero. It has no legs.
I need it to have 10.
Okay, I see.
I would also be okay with that.
So let me ask you a question because. Yeah. I've now seen the Mastodon toy in the wild, and it has eight legs. It also has a spiderweb accessory.
Spider-Don.
Yeah.
And the Triceratops toy has six legs.
Spider-Don sounds like something that would have been in that Sentai Spider-Man show.
Yes. Instead of Leopardon or whatever it's called. Yeah.
Why would they make a Mastodon robot and go like, man, you know what it should also be?
So my question is...
A fucking spider.
Because that's sick!
So here's
Mike,
my question.
Users are awesome. Look at toy sales from like 1997. Kids love them.
I have a guess, which is that I think maybe the people making the toy saw Mastodon robot, went, okay, that's like some kind of spider, right? And then made a spider robot. Like, I think they don't know what a mastodon is.
Okay, but what they did is that... way better.
Yeah, because that's not a spider robot. That's absolutely not a spider robot.
You know what they did? You know what they did is they went to Google and they said mastodon, and they went to Google image search and looked at that for a while and went, you know what? We can make this way better. We can just slap two more pair of legs on that bad boy. It's big enough.
We can just fucking spider it up a bit.
But why is that the only one that they did that to?
Maybe they just needed the toys to be better. The toy Triceratops absolutely has six legs.
Yes.
Yeah, the toy Triceratops has six legs. So they went and saw that and said, it's big enough for maybe two more legs. Maybe two more.
I have a second question.
Why fucking stop there, though? Why not just have a robot composed entirely of legs with a single trunk sticking out the front
of it? Now, listen, we can't play God.
Luke made a Megazord that's... composed entirely of legs. But here's my second question. Is John Peters a secret producer on this, and he... John Peters, producer of Wild Wild West. Did he just need a robot spider to be in this one? Is that what happened?
I feel like he got his giant mechanical spider. It's not like that's shown up in more than one movie.
What? But he needs more, though.
Is what I'm saying. It seems like he only needed the one.
Yeah, like, why would this be the time when he comes back with more?
I don't know. He needed a fix.
Wild Wild West came out in what, 1999?
Yeah.
It's been 18 years since he's been able to make another big robot spider. And you know what? It's time.
I'm ready. I'm ready for another giant robot
spider. No one
else would
let him, but Power Rangers said, sure, what the hell? We don't care.
You could do whatever you want in Power Rangers.
I mean, there's got to be a joke at this point where Zach is like, that's not what that is. Right?
There will not be.
Zordon replies, how the hell do you know? Which one of us has seen a mastodon? That's right.
Have you seen a mastodon? All right, then. Yeah, okay, fine.
That's good. I like the idea even better that Zach's like, that's not... Mastodons have four legs? He's like, listen, we're aliens. We didn't really have a strong idea of what dinosaurs look like. We did our best.
Look, much like the people who made these toys, we did not do our research.
We based these on living creatures. In hindsight, maybe should have gone with an elephant, but we picked a spider.
The Tyrannosaurus has gun hands, and y'all are hung up on two extra pairs of legs.
Molly, Paul on the Facebook group, I want to give him giant props because he said, well, Jason's arms are guns, so the T-Rexes should be too. Which is pretty fucking great.
That's a really good point.
But yeah, so, I mean, that's it. There's not that much to say about it.
The guy's not on the list of producers for that movie, so shut up.
Okay, good. Other than the fact that, like,
what has he been doing lately?
Oh.
I don't know. That's a good question. Well, hold on. I'm sorry.
Let's continue this running joke from Molly's podcast and not our own. Let's keep going with this.
Which joke?
I must have missed my own podcast joke.
Oh, making fun of this dude with the giant spider.
Someone,
YouTube video from years ago.
I'm looking at an article from Deadline that is talking about how someone was writing a biography of John Peters called Studio Head. And he did an interview about it, and he said it should actually be called Dickhead, which is my favorite insult I've heard in a long time. Okay. All right, so apparently he's not easy to work with. Anyway, let's move on. Second thing to talk about. Okay, so I don't know if people have been following this, but fairly recently, the guy who did the Power/Rangers short... which we've talked about before, and I don't think any of us were, like, super on it. It's that real dark Power Rangers reboot short
thing. Oh, so the new movie.
That came out. No, this... Come on, Joel. But anyway, that dude is doing an animated Castlevania show for Netflix, I think, I guess.
That's the only way to say it, because all we have to go on is a press release and like a line in a press release and then a few comments.
And the most amazing interview ever, where he said that video games are, quote, video games are totally like the dopest art form, because apparently that guy is just the world's biggest tool. But
yeah.
He also told in this same interview.
I mean, you say that, but what art form is doper? That's what I thought.
Steel drums.
It's not an art form.
Look, oil painting does not get its due, but that shit is dope, man.
Velvet painting.
Did you just insult steel drums?
I said it's not an art form. It's an instrument.
What are we doing?
Anyway, let's move on. He also said that he's working on a Power Rangers reboot that would retell the first three seasons, and that, quote, it's going to be like really, really dark. Cool,
man.
He then goes on to say that he hasn't sold the idea to anyone, and at that point you can't just do that, though.
He basically went on an interview and started talking about his sick fan fiction.
but cannot wait
to see Alpha Fuck.
But that Alpha Fucks hashtag Alpha Fucks. But correct me if I'm wrong. But that Power/Rangers thing got taken down for copyright infringement. So why does he think this is gonna work?
The most generous way to look at it would be that he thinks that by getting buzz going about it beforehand, that will give him a stronger position when he goes to pitch it.
Mr.
Saban.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sure that Mr. Saban is going to be way into this idea.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Because that's what Mighty Morphin Power Rangers needs is a third reboot within weeks or months, I guess.
Yeah. So anyway, that's crazy. Like, I do kind of admire the audacity of announcing that you're doing a reboot of something you have literally no control over.
While you're doing a reboot for something else.
Yeah.
like, I just... Yeah, guys, I'm remaking Superman. Wait, huh? You are? We haven't talked about that.
No. You're just making Superman at that point. You can't remake it because you didn't make it the first time.
Right, yeah. So he's just making a thing that happens to sort of kind of look like Power Rangers.
Speaking of Superman, John Peters did produce Man of Steel.
Oh yes, that's right.
Is that the newer one?
Yeah.
That's the
newest one, but
I thought he was. Okay. I thought he was just the one of the producers on the failed Superman with Nick Cage back in the day.
Well, he also got involved with Man of Steel. Also,
he definitely was for that. Because part of the reason it didn't get made is about. Yeah. So,
we need to stop pretending we're doing anything other than talking about a YouTube video from, like, 2007.
Yeah, so let's move on.
I've never seen the YouTube video, dude.
It's not great, but let's move on. We're going to talk about the show now. That's the thing we do here, is we talk about the episode that the show's about. So let's
about
do that.
Power Rangers?
Yeah. It's a Power Rangers podcast.
Do we have to?
I mean, no. Okay. You just leave. Like, I can't. The curse might stop you, but I can't do anything about it if you just want to get out of here. Whatever.
Still want to talk just about, you know, other stuff. Like, you know, how's it going?
No, we're not just going to put out a podcast where we shoot the shit for 2 hours. I'm sorry. I refuse. Not under this branding.
I fail to see the problem in releasing, you know, hours of podcasting content that has nothing to do with the show.
Well, we do it every week, but we at least pretend. This is episode 19 of season 2, 2 for 1. It is the first episode where Tommy starts as the White Ranger, and we get a new intro, which is...
Yeah.
It's still a complete audio-visual... it's audio's fine. It's a complete visual mess still. It's just a different visual mess.
Just all these scenes where Tommy isn't in any scenes with the other Rangers, because... Yeah. They're not from the same show, so...
Right, and also because they didn't bother to change out the rest of the intro. It's just basically the same intro, but with Tommy spliced in. So, yeah.
But also, when they do the bit toward the end where the music... where they've always done it where the music goes... Ding, 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 where they, like, flash between each of the Rangers doing, like, they're holding out the Morpher thing. they only show Kimberly, Billy, and Tommy. Already trying to de-emphasize the three people who are leaving.
Oh, shit. I didn't even put that together. I was just like, well, there's no time to fit them all in anymore. But you're right.
I didn't even notice, honestly.
You're right. Those are the specific ones that are missing are... Yeah.
So, Yeah, so this is the first episode where Tommy's the White Ranger, and I'll have something... or starts as the White Ranger, and I'll definitely have something to say about that when we get there. But it opens on... Kim walking up to Trini in the gym and juice bar, and showing off, this pretty new dress that she has.
No, they never say it's new.
And it's not new. We've seen Kim wear this dress like 50 billion times.
That was kind of the joke I was making.
Last episode I was on.
Yeah, she was like, look at this pretty dress. And, we've seen it a million times. So Trini is clearly just humoring her. At this point, like, okay, sure.
Well, I think she's just presenting it as, look, do I look good for my date, yes or no? And
yeah,
she's
like,
yeah, you
do. Pick out the right outfit. Like, she spent an hour. I do like that she spent an hour in her wardrobe going over all these different things she could wear and finally settled on the thing she wears the most.
Yeah, I mean, it's also a very Kimberly thing to do, I guess. So, whatever, that's fine. But she sits down and... What? She sits down with Trini, and she has this purse with her.
No, she doesn't.
I object to the use of the word purse here.
So let me set the scene up, and then we could talk about it. Because she says, this is my mom's purse. She took it on her first date with my dad, so I'm bringing it with me on my first date with Tommy.
Now, let's start with the fact that she's divorced from her dad, so that's not a good omen.
That's ominous.
Her parents are definitively divorced, that is
Unless
true.
Unless she's just really gotten that. All in on accepting her new stepfather.
Yeah.
In which case, this is not a very old sentimental item.
No. So this purse, okay, you know how since we've been in the Die Ranger footage... The characters will have, like, this weird fucking mirror made out of rocks and pretend like it's normal because they have to match it to the Sentai footage.
Yeah.
I thought that this purse was something that was from the Sentai footage.
Of course you would think that because it's the only rational explanation.
So it looks like a clear tackle box. Like, what
it's
the fuck
carrying
is it?
It's a quarantine case.
Yeah!
That purse has a disease and it has to be separated from humanity.
I mean, listen, none of us remember 90s fashion... Like,
no, I refuse to believe this was
actually gonna interject here. I remember seeing girls in my middle and high school growing up with a purse like this.
Do you really?
Yeah.
So plastic?
Yeah. Just look like just a fucking see-through rectangle. Yeah.
Because like they play it like that's not the purse. They play it like the purse is inside that thing.
Wait, really?
That is the purse.
Well, that's the way I saw it, is that they were always talking about something inside. I thought Kimberly was carrying around her mom's purse in the case.
Oh, no, I thought the case was the purse.
There's a coin purse in there, but that's not the same thing.
That would be crazy.
You know, because the coin purse is what turns into the monster.
Right. Molly is right. The monster does not look like this. And now I want to accept Molly's theory, because that's the craziest thing any human being has ever done, is carry
Tommy,
around
Tommy, do you like my mom's purse on display? Hey, do you like this?
Put my mom's purse in a purse, so we can purse while we purse.
Oh my god, I don't know Luke. Anything anymore.
It's just... Nothing here looks like a purse.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that they're saying this plastic thing is the purse. They're wrong.
No, that's definitely what they're saying.
I was gonna say, man, if you're telling me that, fuck that.
I mean, they're not right. I'm just saying I'm pretty sure that's what's supposed to be happening.
I'm just saying that a purse like this was a thing in the 90s.
I mean,
so it was a thing of the 90s. Why would Kimberly's mom have had it in ostensibly the 70s?
Okay, yeah, that's also a good question. I don't have an answer for that one.
I just Googled clear square purse. I'm doing some
investigative journalism
exactly.
here.
I'm seeing ones that are like, hold on, I'll post a picture of what I'm seeing. Because this is not This is a clear square purse, but it is not like a hard plastic rectangle.
Right, it's like it's a soft plastic. Like I'm seeing like that, that too. Yeah. I don't see anything quite like this, but it's also not the 90s, so...
That thing's also hideous, so...
I do see a clear square briefcase. Actually, no, you know what?
Oh, yeah.
No, this is what Mike's talking about. Holy shit.
Hold on. You got one?
I think I got one.
Got one in the wild.
Of course, it's on some fucking website that won't just let me copy the fucking image URL.
Oh, wait, this save. Okay, I've got one, too. Vintage Lucite purses is the description I'm seeing of this. I don't know what Lucite is, but this is totally what we're looking at. I'll post it in the...
Lucite's like hard, clear plastic.
Yeah. Yep, that's a thing.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be.
Wow.
But it is.
Wow. I can't believe it. It's a real thing.
You all thought I was crazy. Bad.
No, we thought the show was crazy.
Yeah, we thought they were full of shit.
Holy shit.
There's an iPhone next to this suggesting that someone has used this in the last couple years,
right.
And this cannot be.
Molly's world is fracturing around her.
Thank you.
I am now looking, and these were around in the 50s and 60s, were when they were big.
Well, that would kind of explain some stuff.
That's here, actually more upsetting because it means the show basically got the time frame right, which is way more work than I've ever seen them put into anything.
To be fair, Zach, that's the era in which the people writing the show probably remember, so that probably didn't take a lot of research on their part.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's the purse that Kimberly's mom took out when she went to watch the submarine races with her boyfriend.
Oh, God. I forgot about that. Okay. All right. So... She's
We've
got this
spent so long talking about a fucking purse.
Well, look
because
at it.
It's crazy. I'm standing by my carrying case theory.
Molly, I love your theory. I love it so much because it means that Kim is an insane person.
I love it too, but the world has proved us wrong, Molly.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Never stopped you. Come on.
So, in addition to this nice, nice vintage purse, Trini has brought Kim a lipstick that she's asked her to borrow, I guess. Siren Song Red, which is not...
Oh, my God. It doesn't matter, and they say it like six times.
Yeah, they do that. It's really weird. It's especially weird that they make sure to call attention to the fact that it's Siren Song Red when the monster that it makes later is definitely purple. Not red at all.
Also, like that they named the color after a non-visible concept.
Siren Song. Yeah, I also like that.
Well,
I
mean, hold on, I'm gonna defend this. I guess just because defending the show is what I'm doing this week. But like, it's the idea that like, you know, bits of makeup are supposed to have names to make it sound like they're going to be seductive in some way, and this is the Siren Song.
Right,
and
but
in a weird way, it actually ties into the powers of the monster later.
Yeah, so, that's like, true. It does have...
This is probably the most well-thought-out a thing what turns into a monster has been since Zed showed up.
Well, that's true, but mostly because the bar is extremely low. So we get... at this point, Balk and Skull walk in.
The other thing I want to say is that, like, the other thing about the name of that thing is, like, Trini immediately turns around and goes, who names this shit? Who does this?
Yeah, she does. Yeah. Trini is
just
like...
Just instantly like, this is stupid.
Also...
Here, take my fucking dumb lipstick. Yeah, Kimberly, you can borrow it. It's fucking poor shit anyway.
Also, I almost missed something very important, which puts kind of a hole in one of our new ships, which is Richie asks Trini on a study date, and I don't like it. Richie, you're with Curtis. Stop it.
Why are you trying to tie him down to just one person, Zach?
I mean, I just... Listen.
Look,
supposed
to... Listen, I haven't watched this show. Am I supposed to know this dude? I'm guessing yes.
So Richie...
Richie
is a cardboard cutout who is magically turned into a human being, and...
What?
No, not really.
I appreciate that you immediately bought that as a plausible explanation.
Molly, the best
thing...
I mean,
hasn't it happened?
The best thing I can explain...
No, the opposite has happened. A human being has been turned into a cardboard cutout.
Okay.
The best way I can explain it, I'm actually not lying. Yeah, that is true. The best way I can explain Richie to you is that he is David from Totally Spies.
Oh,
yeah. There okay. you go. Yeah,
he's a character that does nothing, and Trini is he's basically there for Trini to make goo goo eyes at, and also there's another character that was just recently introduced named Curtis, who is Zach's cousin. And Curtis and Richie like to hang out together rollerblading shirtless a lot.
Yes.
So, like, I don't know that I buy him.
Richie was last seen wearing jorts and no shirt and fingerless gloves rollerblading with Curtis around the park. So, yeah.
That seems dangerous.
Look, we don't get to see much of Richie's character, but he's actually a very complex person.
yeah, that's
also,
true.
Also, yeah, sure. What was that shit Simon was saying about Richie disappearing as soon as the White Ranger happens?
Yeah, so Simon's not here to defend himself, so let me just go ahead and say that Simon is the fucking human ranger wiki. He's so wrong. Like, every fucking thing he said about the White Ranger red herring stuff, it has been summarily proven incorrect.
I continue Slam to fucking love dunk. How much we dunk on Ranger Wiki, because they were wrong about the fucking rad bug showing up in the background of one episode.
It yeah, wasn't the last time they were wrong.
They've been wrong about some very minor things, but it is fun to dunk on them.
I feel like it's completely fair to call them out for being wrong on very minor things because they obsess over
because it's a wiki things. And that's what wikis do. Yeah, yep. But yeah, so treat so
but also though I will say I've been watching ahead and I think this, unless I'm misremembering, and I mean I might be pulling a Simon here, I think this here actually is the last time we see Richie.
Well, they're definitely gone by the time the new Rangers show up. That is for sure true. Because
yeah,
they wouldn't
they don't
have
need
any
them anymore at that point.
Yeah, because Curtis is Zach's cousin and Zach leaves and Richie is Trini's love interest
well,
and Trini leaves.
I meant from behind the scenes, they no longer need to be there to threaten the actress who
oh, played. that reminds me of something yeah. I wanted to bring up. Can we go back to talking about things for a second?
Sure.
Okay. Play the jingle again.
Yeah, play the music.
Talk about things.
Thank you. I looked it up on Ranger Wiki of all places, so I guess take it with a grain of salt. But when Tommy left the show during like Green No More, they were just gonna like be like, okay, bye, Tommy, see ya. Not having this character on the show anymore. And then there was a huge letter writing campaign into Saban begging them to keep Tommy on the show. And that's why he's the White Ranger. So I think Richie was originally going to be the White Ranger.
Yeah. It
wasn't that when he was going to do VR Troopers or whatever?
Yes, he was.
That was
no, no, no. This was around the same time. He was going to go be the lead on Cybertron, which is what they originally called VR Troopers.
I could have swore that's when he left the show for the first time.
I thought the letter writing campaign was for the first time.
No, that was for this time.
Right, which is which
fuck?
adds a nice meta.
The problem is that Tommy has left and come back like four times.
Yeah, he
the
really
the stock
has.
On Jason David yeah. Frank in the fucking 90s is incredible.
Yeah, look at him. He's a 90s like made given form.
Yeah, well,
I will say like, this. I've said this before. Absolutely, definitely check out the fucking VR Troopers pilot, fucking Cybertron with Jason David Frank in it. It's fucking incredible, and one of the like the bit parts there, like the Vulcan skull that they have in that pilot.
Oh, isn't it
one of them is
famous,
is,
right?
Yeah, it was. I think it's like I want to say it's either Jamie Kennedy or Johnny Knoxville. I forget
I
which.
I think it's Jamie Kennedy. I think that's true. Yeah, that's crazy. But yeah, so Vulcan skull walk in after Trini accepts a study date from Richie.
Well, Richie also like falls over on some people
because
like,
he's so excited,
he's mooning over her so bad that he can't even walk proper.
Right?
Can I say?
I think that's
that
the last
I
thing
really...
this character ever does is fucking knock into some people, which is kind
of
great.
Can I say
okay,
that
so
I
those,
really,
so those
really
people were some of Ernie's mob contacts, and he had to leave Angel Grove after this.
No, you cannot, Zach.
Can I quickly say I really, really like Trini's braids, specifically her cool. Hair tie things. I don't know what those
are
called.
Yeah, looks cute.
It's a good look.
Zach, VR Trooper started airing on TV like a few weeks before Green No More aired.
Okay, so it was for the first time then. Gotcha. All right, yeah. Fair enough. Well, so in any case, Bulk and Skull are in the scene for like 15 seconds to establish that they have a quote, Power Ranger detector.
Yeah, this fish finder thing that they have is on screen more than they are this time.
Yeah, and he said, and he's just like, this is going to lead us to the Power Rangers. Okay, bye. We don't need to be in this scene, really.
Okay, no, we do need to explain this a little more, because Bulk says that this thing was designed by his cousin, Waldo, who's a student at Angel Grove Tech.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's your point? Are you surprised that Angel Grove has an accredited institution?
I'm surprised.
Everything we learn about Angel Grove is shocking.
I'm surprised that Bulk has a cousin who made it into this school.
I mean, it could be like a community college.
I mean, yeah, it's a technical school.
What are you saying about community colleges? I went to community college.
I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying they are typically less...
No, because it sounds like you were. It sounds like you were implying that an imbecile community college.
Well,
that's what it sounds like.
He's not wrong there, because the bar for entry on those is typically lower than...
Yeah, it's very low.
Schools.
Anyway, I like to think I'm pretty smart, and I have some dumb cousins, so I don't know what you're trying to say here.
No, didn't you know that all people who are related are basically clones of each other? That's what Power Rangers has taught us.
The more important thing is, this is a stupid machine that Bulk could have designed himself, so...
Yeah, true, but Waldo helped him out.
Yeah, Waldo, the most common name in this time period.
Right.
I mean, that does kind of make sense, considering Bulk's first name is actually Eugene.
Eugene Bulkmeyer, right? Isn't that his name?
Good name.
Yeah.
Strong name.
So, in any case, they leave, and then Jason and Tommy walk out, and oh my god... Jason's white civilian uniform is so... Tommy's is so much worse than his green clothes. Like, oh my god.
Was he wearing the headband in this scene, or is it just the next
one? It's the next scene. In this scene, he's got a white cut-off...
The biggest tank.
Yeah, it's a tank that it basically looks like the top that like Scorpion and Sub-Zero wear, except it's all white. Like, it's ridiculous. And Jason,
so there's basically a ninja for every color of the rainbow in the Mortal Kombat universe. Is there a white one?
There's a gray one, and no, there's not a white one.
So what would the white Mortal Kombat ninja be called?
Milk.
Snow milk. cocaine. I don't know. They're really lazy about the
names. Isn't there
names.
Already a rain?
Like, huh?
Isn't there already a rain? Isn't that the purple one?
Rain is purple because, haha. Yes, rain is purple.
Sure, yeah.
Nice. Nice. Got him.
No, snow actually sounds about right.
Snow. I mean, there's a Frost already, and that's a lady, and she's blue. So,
right.
But yes, there.
Yeah,
I don't,
still.
It would be something super lazy. Absolutely, for sure. Ice. It would just be called ice.
And the gray one's called smoke.
Yes, yeah, it's not... They didn't put a lot of thought into those. But yeah, so they walk over. They've been working out together. And I'm just saying they're real sweaty. But...
I'm just saying they're real sweaty, guys. I don't know what you think I'm implying, but they're just sweaty. They're just two sweaty dudes.
That doesn't happen when you work out.
Listen, Jason and Tommy are very close, and they haven't seen each other for a while before this last couple set of episodes.
Right, and
so
they just wanted to get sweaty together for the first
some
time
stuff
in a
to
long
work
time.
Out.
Yeah, just a good old-fashioned workout.
I love getting together with my bros and sweating.
Yep, okay. So, in any case... I can't believe this is a character trait that they've continued to bring up with Tommy.
Of all the things for them to keep continuity on.
But
is it
Tommy
never
is like,
remembers to wind his watch?
It's not that he... It's just watch difficulties in general.
Yeah, he's late. He forgets his watch.
He's forgetful.
Yeah.
That's like his big thing. They had a whole episode about how forgetful he is. which he would not been until then, but now, all of a sudden, he is.
He broke the day. Time stream one time to make sure that he remembered his communicator watch.
Yeah, that's true. He contacted his past self to tell him to not forget his watch, which did happen.
It's a good call.
This motherfucker is wearing the communicator watch, and then he's got a separate watch that he just carries around.
Yes.
Well, yeah, because the communicator watch doesn't actually a watch. It doesn't tell you the time.
But, I mean, only
what actually happens instead of talking around it like this.
Well, I was just going to say only a crazy person would wear two watches at once, so whatever, it's fine. Nobody would ever actually do that. Anyway.
Zach?
What? No, Joel does.
No, he's trying to
watch. Oh, right.
Say, I would I never do
you.
That.
I don't remember you wearing two watches.
Listen, one of them is analog and the other one is a calculator.
I mean, you're not as far off as...
Listen, so, that's half a joke and half a stab.
Yeah, so anyway, sorry, we should say what happens, which is that Tommy was supposed to meet Kimberly at 4, and he's like, oh, it's only... She's like, are you going to change, or are you going on a date, like... Just sweating like sweat your balls boy. Off. Yeah.
I feel like the subtext there was, I don't mind if you want to go sweaty.
Yeah, the way she doesn't seem upset. She seems like, okay.
She's like,
okay,
are you ready to go? Okay. Are y'all sweated up for me?
And he's like, oh, wait, but it's only 3.
Body like a water slide, Tommy.
God. Your body's like a water slide. but... Anyway,
I'm just imagining, you ever see that commercial for like the kid slip and slide with the shark on the end where the kid like slides down and then like this computer shark grabs him and pulls him back the other way? I'm kind of just imagining that, but it's Kimberly sliding on Tommy's body and just fucking there's Saba just rah!
But yeah, so he got the time wrong, basically. He totally
he
fucked up.
He forgot to wind his watch.
Which, like, okay. Correct
Did
me
you
if I'm
have
wrong.
Wind watches in the early
yeah,
90s?
Because like,
I don't remember that.
You don't have to wind
well,
watches.
If he has a mechanical watch, you do.
I mean, you have to set
that
them
seems
when
seems like
you...
a shitty thing to have.
But yeah. But I have a mechanical watch. You have to set it when you first get it, but
no,
then
you have
that's...
an electric watch then.
Oh,
most even mechanical watches. Well, no, even mechanical watches will sometimes be powered. Like I've got one that's solar powered, so it's got a little battery and like
right, yeah. Like your watch works by putting a charge through a quartz crystal. His watch works by winding it and then
oh, he has literally a fucking like mechanical, purely yes. mechanical watch. Why? For what purpose?
For style, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he got it from his grandfather.
It's
or something.
Like a Rolex.
You don't know.
Jesus, okay, I'm sorry, I was confused, because that's been so long since I...
Because that's crazy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so he says, all right, I'm sorry, I'm going to run home and change, my bad, and she's cool with it. He runs off, we cut up to the moon, and... Okay, so Zed says that now that there's an extra ranger, I'm going to need an extra monster, and... Here is something I forgot to point out last episode.
Before we get to that, hold on. Okay. The scene starts with Zed talking about like, teenage love is in the air. And then Goldar's like, can I break their hearts, master?
Yes, she does say that.
Man, there's a lot to that.
I since Eric couldn't make it, I just want to give him props for his read on that, which was that Goldar is going to... go romance one of the Rangers and form like a lasting relationship and then leave them at the altar.
Right. It's just the long con.
The longest con.
Yeah. So
I mean, it would work.
So he says
it would
we
be their most
another...
effective plan.
So we said he needs another monster. And here's something we forgot to mention last time, which is Zed didn't react when there was a White Ranger at all. There was no scene of him going, what a new ranger or right. anything like that. Like
it's chill.
Yeah, I guess he just is not that bothered by it.
Also, there was a green one, now there's a white one.
Yeah,
fuck,
also,
whatever, man.
Yeah,
there's
also,
always six.
I don't get his thing of now that there's an extra ranger, we need extra monsters. There were six rangers for most of the time you've been here, Zed. This is new.
Also, yeah. if making more than one monster is that easy, why the ever-living flying fuck have neither you nor Rita done it before?
Why don't you just make 12?
Maybe the extra ranger Saba. Maybe
Oh, you think he's completely ignoring Tommy? And he's
well,
just
yeah,
like,
Tommy by himself Rangers. Is nothing, but Tommy with a like intelligent sword, that you got to worry about.
Fucked up, but yeah, you got to look out because he'll float and zap you with eye lasers. Look out!
Look into the fucking eye laser.
That's
oh
more than
God.
Tommy usually does.
So can we talk?
Pretty sick.
Can we talk about this date now, please? It's all I want to do in the whole world. Oh,
fucking these fucking hets!
Don't put this shit on us. We know better.
No, it's not. No, we
this
don't.
This date is what plays when you're watching TV at 4 a.m. and someone is selling you a 6 CD collection of soft jazz music. Like, while the names of the songs scroll by, this is what's in the background.
This date is just a piggyback ride. It's just one extended piggyback ride, and he can barely keep it going.
Throws her to the ground at one point for no reason?
Well, he's like got her hand, and he's like spinning her around, and she kind of goes down. Then they're on a beach. Then they're eating
a picnic.
It's just...
But let's talk about Tommy's outfit, please. Please.
And he's giving her a piggyback ride and spinning her around. Like, that's the constant through line of this whole thing.
Yeah, okay, this outfit, Tommy has changed. He went home to change specifically into this outfit.
Man, you changed out of your work clothes for this, huh? You sure did this.
And he is wearing, I guess it's jeans or like dark pants.
They're jeans.
A tan vest. A white
vest.
A white undershirt and a black headband. He also doesn't have his hair in his normal ponytail. And
I was going to say, and do keep in mind that the headband is not doing anything with his hair. It's just on his forehead.
No, it's just for style.
He took pains to make sure it's not touching his hair.
And I was watching this and I was like, oh my God, Tommy, the reason Tommy left is he went to go join Poison or Whitesnake in between the fucking episodes.
Look at these luscious fucking locks.
Oh, and he's still got like a shark tooth like necklace to complete the ensemble.
He looks like he's in a hair metal band. Like, my God.
But a Christian hair metal band.
Christian hair metal is 100% his aesthetic.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Oh God, he's probably just into that, huh? Yeah.
Well,
David Frank was actually probably into that at the time.
Well,
absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He's into that. Tommy's into that.
I mean,
right.
Dude owns an MMA wear company called Jesus Didn't Tap. So yeah, probably.
He sure does.
Oh my God.
Did you not know that?
I did not know that. Yeah. I mean, I knew he was super Christian. I didn't know about the name of the thing.
Yeah.
Jason David Frank, I love you.
I'm sorry. I really hope this doesn't offend anyone. Jesus couldn't tap, right? Like, he was physically capable of doing so.
I mean, no. He could have, because he was God, Zach.
Well, okay.
He could do whatever he wanted.
Yes, he's omnipotent.
The whole point is he let them execute him for... You know, other reasons.
Right, but with his earth hands, though, because... Anyway, let's move on.
Let's please move on.
Okay. That was the worst part of
ref,
being crucified,
and you do say
and
I give
to
up.
Submit.
So,
watch The Last Temptation of Christ. It's about this exact subject.
Okay, so Balk and Skull are in the park, too. I love their detector's meter so much because it's a sad face that says not the Power Rangers and a happy face that says the Power Rangers. And I love it. It's the best. They're so fucking adorable.
Have we talked about what this thing actually like looks like, this fucking contraption?
I mean, it's a metal detector.
It's
a metal detector, but like instead
you.
Of like on the end, it's got like a satellite dish.
Yeah, it's a metal detector weird. With a weird satellite dish attached to the end of it. It's fine. I just like the little meter it has.
Also, the way Bulk uses it, it's like a divining rod, apparently, because it seems to be pulling him with force.
What is that word again?
What was it called?
Divining rod.
Thank you.
Fuck off.
Okay.
So, I much prefer The Divining.
That sounds like a really shitty horror movie, The Divining.
It's the worst apocalypse.
Or a bad indie game with stolen art assets. So yeah, they quote-unquote sense a Power Ranger. Bulk runs off after whatever he senses, and...
Can I just throw out something real quick?
Mm-hmm.
We kind of glossed over it. I meant to bring it up in the earlier Bulk and Skull scene, but... the way Bulk behaves now that he and Skull are on this quest to find the Power Rangers is... Like, the way he carries himself and speaks is so much different compared to season one. Like, because he constantly talks like he's... Like, he really does truly believe that he's on a super important mission. Like, he's always talking with, like purpose
Bulk,
and
Bulk
grandeur.
Thinks he's on a mission from God.
Bulk thinks he is the hero in a TV show, which he's not. But
he's
he totally...
He's so close.
He totally talks like a caricature of a superhero, where he talks like this and, like, puffs his chest out all the time because he's, like... It's super. He thinks what he's doing is super important. I kind of like it. So Zed says he's going to send his putties down to steal Kimberly's purse, which keep that in mind because of what actually happens. He sends the putties down. Kimberly and Tommy are like, oh, man, this day was going too well. This date was just
Kimberly
too
says,
great.
I knew this day was going too well. That is the most I have related to a television character in my entire life.
And then fucking Tommy Oliver, who, keep in mind, we have characterized through this entire show as a, like, barely functioning member of society who cannot at any time be smooth, just puts his hand out to Kimberly and goes, may I have this dance? And then they do a dance move and kick the shit out of the putties.
It's those White Ranger powers. He's back.
we kind of hinted at it when during like the last couple episodes, but like now that Tommy's the White Ranger, he's a completely different character.
Yeah. I wonder, because I genuinely don't think that the directors on Power Rangers were like...
No.
Smart enough to tell him to act differently. So what happened that he was like, well, I mean, I'm going to be awesome now before I wasn't. Like,
I mean,
I
honestly think they might be trying kind of writing and directing him differently because he's supposed to be the leader now.
Oh, see, I mean, that might be a small part of it. I think the main thing is just that he was never like an actor. He was a karate man. And I think he's finally just getting comfortable enough with acting that he doesn't seem super nervous and uncomfortable all the time.
Just may just be an experience.
Well,
thing.
It's also he's not doing that thing he had to do all the time anymore where it's like, wow, guys, I mean, I sure would love to go do the thing with you, but the script dictates I had to be by myself. Later.
That's
right.
True.
Yeah.
So there's a putty fight. Not too much worth mentioning except one amazing shot.
There's a few
things worth
mentioning.
There's
a lot here.
Okay. Well, let me say mine, then you guys go.
Yeah.
There's the one where he's surrounded by four putties.
Yup.
And he does a split kick, then lands, then does a split kick on the other two,
and
then they
the first
replay
two
that.
Get up while he's doing that, so he's got to split kick him again.
Well, they not even because they just replay the footage.
They just
replay
the footage.
It's literally the same footage like three times.
It's so good. It's so good.
And immediately after that, Kimberly like throws a putty into a tree, which I really liked.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, that's brutal. Yeah.
Kimberly also has a weird thing where like she jumps at a putty and like puts her knees on its head and like does a backflip off of its knees.
Just
and
a full Hurricane Rana.
Yeah, it's pretty rad.
She gives a putty the Frankensteiner.
Yes, she does. Yep, that's
she
true.
Does.
Yeah, Kimberly's pretty rad in this episode. But
Tommy kicks a putty so hard it rolls up an entire hill.
Yes. Oh my god. I'm sorry. I forgot
I
that
need
was
to
this
talk
fight.
About this because my absolute number one favorite trope that gets used in this show is extraneous use of reversed footage, and this is probably the most they've stretched that in a while. Like,
so
the only thing that comes close is the time a putty went up a slide.
This is like a full 5 seconds.
Yeah,
like he's just rolling back
up that hill.
Yeah, it's some it's a guy in a putty suit who rolled down a hill and then they reversed it. And what happens is Tommy kicks this putty so hard This shot is a big hill. The shot's incredible. It's so great.
And then it's followed up by another incredible putty moment, which is a putty getting Kimberly's purse and opening it up and checking out the contents. Like, it pulls out this lipstick and is looking at it like, ooh, I could wear this.
It pulls out the coin purse.
That's my color.
Are you saying it pulls the actual purse out of the purse carrying case?
It pulls the coin purse out of this holder, and that's... It hangs on to it.
No, it doesn't, though. That's the thing. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it pulls out the lipstick, and then it gets teleported away, and the lipstick and the purse thing fall to the ground.
Right,
yeah, because... It does pull out the lipstick. It does look at the lipstick. I thought it grabbed both.
Here's the thing. Zed was like, the putty is going to go steal the purse. What the putty actually does is just, like, hold it, and then the putty gets teleported away, and Zed zaps it to turn it into a monster.
He could have done that without the putties. He can just zap things whenever he wants.
Why the putty had to be involved at all.
He can just do that.
Yeah. At this point,
the putties get restless. He has to take them out for, you know, fightsies every day.
The putties are restless. So at this point, he turns the purse into a monster, and
Nolly's right. He turns the coin purse that was inside the clear plastic thing into a monster.
Yeah, he does, because it's a coin purse monster. It's pretty great. Also, a lot of the weapons that the both monsters have are, like, based on stuff that would be in a purse. The monster has, like, a little hand mirror. There's a couple other things. What is the thing that it's holding supposed to be?
I think it's a coin purse monster?
It looks like one of those, like, things they have in American Gladiators when they're trying to knock people off the pedestals.
Yeah, I mean, like, given the fact that they're going to try to convince me later that people carry dental floss inside a coin purse, a Q-tip probably isn't so far off.
Okay, that's fair.
I'm not certain what the hammer end is supposed to be, though. Like, that's not normally on Q-tips.
Yeah.
It's a weapon.
Yeah, it's a weaponized version. Go ahead.
This monster is obviously a Japanese monster because it's got, like, Japanese symbols on it.
Those are Chinese, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Dairanger is all Chinese stuff, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, but this is what I'm going to say. Is this a Dairanger monster? Because it shows up exclusively in American footage.
Oh, that's a good question.
There is not a single second from Dairanger that has this coin monster in this episode.
Yeah, you're right. I wonder if is it one of those situations where they got the suit?
I mean, it has to be, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yes, this is the same costume. They brought it over.
Okay.
To do it. So it's this, they got the costume.
God damn it. They finally got a hold of a, like, Dairanger costume that they could use with footage with the, you know, old suits.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Their decision on what to do with that is to make it so that nobody fights it.
Yep.
Right, because what happens is Tommy and Kimberly morph, walk towards the monster, and it immediately shoots them with a mirrored laser beam that freezes them in place.
The compact ray.
It specifically freezes their minds, as we'll find out, which...
That's horrifying, by the way. Like, that's way scarier than just, I can't move. I don't know.
I might prefer that to.
I would definitely rather not be trapped in my own body. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair.
So a weird thing is that Zed celebrates his victory. He's like, yeah, we fucking did it. White Ranger, Pink Ranger. At long last, the White Ranger is
at long last.
Yeah.
Since Tuesday, his reign of terror.
But also. We get the shot of Squad Babu and Finster celebrating.
Yeah,
Finster's back. We haven't seen him in a while.
Finster shows up in this episode. It's the first time he's ever been in American footage. He doesn't say anything or make a monster, and then he doesn't show up again until Rita's wedding. So, cool, I guess.
He's here.
So, when Rita got kicked out, Finster left because there was no point for him being there anymore. But he stopped by to visit his good friends, Squat and Babu.
No, he didn't leave, remember? He was still, like, when Zed's first monster lost, it cut to Finster, and he was like, I should have had me make a monster.
Right, and that's why he left, because...
Okay.
Where the fuck did he go? They're on the moon.
I think he still lives underground. Power underneath the palace.
Gotcha. Okay. So anyway,
he got a lot of pocket dimensions. He can go wherever he wants.
Yeah, like he's still gonna stick around for Goldar's weekly poker game.
Sure. So Zed makes another monster, which is made out of Kimberly's lipstick. It's called the Lip Sinker, and the transition when he makes it is absolutely nightmare fuel.
Oh, it's horrifying.
Because what happens is it first creates a giant claymation purple, claymation set of purple lips. And then there is like rotoscoping of a giant tongue that licks those lips. And then it turns.
It's so bad.
And yeah, then it turns into.
He basically anthropomorphized a, Rolling Stones album cover.
Yeah, totally. And then it transitions and the lips are the sword of the monster, which is kind of cool.
Which is better.
Yeah.
Because if that monster had those lips, I would turn off the show.
Molly would have just been like, nope, sorry, not guesting today.
So creepy imagery is appropriate because the monster's first thing it says when it comes into existence is, oh my, where are those gorgeous Power Rangers? I just want to kiss them all to pieces.
Okay, so there's a major dominatrix vibe from this monster.
Oh yeah.
Holy shit, y'all.
I mean, yes, absolutely.
Man, are y'all sure?
But yeah, like this monster, so its head is the lipstick part, like the actual lipstick part, and then it
but
has
so are its shoulders. It's got like three big old lipsticks.
It has cauldrons that are also lipsticks, yeah. Which is kind of great, actually. I sort of like it.
I do want to say I was just like watching through this while you were talking. Tommy does not have a shark tooth necklace. He has a yin yang necklace.
Oh, that's right. We talked about this before. Yeah. When he comes back as the White Ranger, he's got a yin-yang necklace instead of that weird fish necklace he had before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. So the monster shows up. We cut to the Jim and Juice Bar where Zach and Jason are having one of those fights from Dragon Ball Z where they don't animate the hands.
I assume they are like using each other as speed bags, but it looks very silly.
It looks like they're playing the most intense game of patty cake humanity has ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, that's how a true warrior trains. Also, yes. Billy is pumping iron in the background watching this intently.
I was watching this with Pris, and like we got to this scene, and like Billy's back there. She goes, oh my god, Billy's ripped.
Yeah, no, we've definitely talked about this in season one, but I'm pretty sure the reason they made him wear baggy clothes all the time was to hide his incredibly jacked body.
You think David Yost was guys, can we stop with this? Like,
you guys, you know I'm ripped. I'm a Power Ranger, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, so they get summoned to the command center, and Zordon is like, Tommy and Kimberly have had their date in the park interrupted.
Which I assume means Zordon and Alpha were watching the whole thing.
Oh, of course.
They're always watching the whole thing. Yeah, like,
fucking Jerry.
Totally.
Fucking Jerry.
I mean, Zordon's a creepy, like, voyeur for sure. Alpha doesn't really know what he's
basically
watching.
The guy from Rear Window.
What's with creepy mentor dudes in the 90s?
I mean, they weren't trying to be creepy. I think, you know, just as like now it's super not okay to like let your kid, I don't know, like go out trick-or-treating by themselves because people are way more paranoid about it. Nobody in the 90s was as worried about an older man just talking to your kids as they would be now.
Which is why there were so many, like, PSAs and stuff about that exact subject.
Yeah, and then the Stranger Danger thing happened, and now there's no more floating heads in tubes. Thanks, Obama. Or, I guess, I don't know.
Thanks, Futurama? Clinton?
No.
Thanks, Clinton?
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever.
Thanks,
that
Bush?
Happened.
I don't know.
Yeah, so, so yeah,
a little ways into the Clinton years at this point, yeah.
So Zordon says, like, yeah, all this stuff is based on, or oh no,
no,
I'm sorry,
no, let's not skip this.
Yeah, Mike, you say because you were pissed about this. Go ahead.
Okay, hold on. Let me actually get the line here. So
Hey, audience, remember how Billy stopped doing Billy speak for a little while?
Oh, yeah, fuck. Yeah.
Okay, Billy says, the arsenal comes from the paraphernalia in the receptacle from which it was created.
Fuck you, Billy.
Like, some writer wrote a normal-ass sentence and then used the 1994 equivalent of Google to, like, auto-replace every single word with
called
the longest...
It's called a thesaurus.
I was assuming that they were writing this on a computer, but you might be right.
Hey guys, you know how Trini always translates Billy's Billy speak?
Yeah.
How come her Zord isn't the thesaurus?
Okay, no. I'm leaving.
Yeah. Bye.
I'm leaving too. See ya. T2A is over. Good night, everybody.
Let's take a quick
break. We gotta transfer our power. You have to transfer our power to like three new people, but you can't do it with us around.
Sorry, Molly, you're the new TWA host.
Oh boy, sorry, podcast canceled, y'all.
let's take a quick break so that they can yell at me, and then we'll come right back. So, at this point, Zordon is basically outlining, hey guys, she translates from his stupid Billy speak into, the
Trini
monster's
does.
Weapons, Trini does. The monster's
what
weapons
I think is
are...
the last time.
Oh, now I got sad.
Oh yeah, is this almost...
Yeah, it's very close.
So,
she says, the stuff... The weapons come from the things that were in Kimberly's purse. Billy says, exactly. And then we see, oh, wait, there's a second monster. It's a lipstick monster. Cool.
Which we find out Zordon names it, I guess.
The lip syncer. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the idea here is that they have to split up because there's not enough of them to deal with all the problems. Because Trini and Billy have to work on the counteracting purse head's freeze ray. Zach,
so
go ahead.
Let's just take a moment to break down what their plan here is. They know that purse monster can freeze people with a ray, but they don't know how to beat it yet. So their solution is to send two more rangers to fight it.
Well, yep. One more.
No, not quite.
They send Zach to go fight it.
Oh, yeah, one more, but still.
Yeah.
And also, the funniest part of this is Jason's like, I can take the lip syncer myself.
No, he says, the lip syncer's mine.
Yeah, he jumps on it.
He's fucking ready.
And he's going to kill my parents.
I mean, to be fair, that's the correct response is I'll take the one that won't immediately incapacitate me when I arrive.
Right. That's the thing is the scene is treating it like Jason is being a big all hero for doing this. But he tells Zach to go help Kimberly and Tommy, who just got frozen by an insta-freeze beam. So... Like
it's basically a horror movie because they're immediately splitting up and sending the black guy off to die.
Yeah, and Zach is like, no man, you can't do it. I won't let you. It's too dangerous. And it's like, what are you talking about?
Fucking Jason's reply back is like, listen, man, I'll tell you, man, if I need you, bro, I'll tell you, bro. And Zach is like,
bro,
you better, bro.
They say the word bro like 5,000 times in the span of like 10 seconds.
Fantastic.
It's like they got replaced with the cast of the Fast and Furious movies for a second and nobody noticed. It's ridiculous.
Oh, man, I want Ranger Fast and the Furious. I want it so bad.
I guess wait three seasons?
Well, I was going to say wait three more Fast and the Furious movies and they'll have superpowers. Like, there's
that's
not
actually,
anywhere
that's
else
a good point.
To
like, there's
take
an intersection
that shit.
Point
so,
there.
But yeah, they morph Zach and Tommy.
Zach, yeah, so Zach
sorry, Zach
leaps.
And, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Zach leaps into action. He pulls out his power axe and
oh, it's so
it.
Good.
immediately gets frozen. And then Alpha is watching and he goes, oh no, could never have seen that shit coming.
It's like, oopsie.
Whoops, has discovered a fatal flaw in their plan.
Billy,
so absurd.
Billy tells Trini he needs more power to complete his calculations.
And then he grunts a bunch.
God damn it.
Okay, so says,
I
warned
you,
all of the nonsense
turn this
that
into a home improvement podcast.
No, you can't. I won't let you.
I guess we have to do a bonus episode on home improvement. I mean,
why?
I feel like we have to.
We don't have to.
We gotta. We talk about the show all the time. I mean, we gotta have to. I don't want to do it, but we gotta. It's the thing. It's what the podcast does to you. Sometimes you got to do something you don't want to do. And right now,
I don't want this thing to be happening.
Mike, are you okay?
Mike, what the fuck are you talking about?
I'll be okay. I mean, I don't want to do a home improvement podcast, but like, I mean, sometimes you got to do what you don't want to do.
I feel like this is a bit that I have not been let in on.
Home
instead, hold on. What if instead we do a bonus episode on TimAllen.com, Tim Allen's idea exchange?
Wait, that's not a thing, right?
Oh, you poor sweet child. Of course it is. Mike, this feels like a thing you must know about, right?
No.
Oh, God, I'm linking you to it now.
We can't talk about TimAllen.com right now. We have to continue doing the episode.
IdeaExchange.TimAllen.com.
That's
where
it redirects to. Subforums include Tim on the Silver Screen, Tim on TV, Last Man Standing, Home Improvement, Books by Mr. Allen, FAQ, Home Improvement Movies and Books. So far, so good. Favorite things, the really big questions, lighting the light, a positive approach to the world of quantum physics.
I'm sorry, hold on. Under Tim's favorite things, the really big questions, exchange your ideas on God, spirituality, philosophy, and wisdom. The most recent post was 2 days ago by Latina Republican Mom on Tim Allen's personal idea exchange board. And we have to move away from this
second. I'm not going to read this whole post because it's very long. But if you go into that forum, there's this person called Indie Mercedes. They started the thread. And they talked for a long time about relationship with God and just asking all these questions and posting verses from the Bible. I can't even find it's so like rambly that I can't even find like a sentence to pull out. But then the Tim Man posted a single line that said, "Too bad God's not real."
God damn it.
What is going on, Tim Allen?
I don't know. I do love that Tim's favorite things amongst the subforums, there's the world of quantum physics, and then three pages down, the testosterone corner.
Can we talk about anything else other than this, please?
I'm not worried about Tim Allen's spirituality. His actions speak louder than words.
Speaking of power, so while Billy and Trini are running around spouting technobabble about how they need more power to do the calculations, I'm giving her all she's got, Captain. Apparently, the command center runs on a hydro generator.
I mean, it makes sense. It's on the edge of a cliff.
Yeah, they throw that out there.
In the fucking desert, though.
Does it create water? Hydro generator.
Well, Mike, consider... Mike.
No, that's not what that means, Mom.
Mike, consider this. It wasn't a desert until the command center showed up.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
All of the water in the surrounding area has been rerouted to power their hydroelectric.
That's why California's in the drought. That's why...
Wait, does Zordon own Nestle?
Probably. He's been around for 10,000 years.
I hate this. We have to talk about the fucking episode.
What do you think he was doing for the past 10,000 years when Rita wasn't around and he didn't need the Rangers?
Listen to me.
He ran
out. Okay, everyone stop. Power Rangers is happening. Shut up. So the Jason goes to fight the lip syncer.
No, okay, so there's one more thing I want to point out here, because Zordon tells Alpha to make sure that the hydro generator Doesn't overload. And then immediately Trini just tells him, oh, we're already in overload.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, dude. Like,
so
the command center is going to blow up.
Too late, it's already going to explode, yeah.
So Jason goes to fight the lip syncer, and again, because they don't have footage of the two together, he just throws his sword at it.
He throws the entire sword!
Wait, as opposed to part of the sword?
What if he threw, like, I don't know, a laser or something? What if, like, slashing the sword caused a laser to come out or something stupider? No, he just throws the sword.
Now you don't have a sword. Way to go.
And they can't show the sword, like, actually making contact, because obviously. So, like, it just pans back up to the monster. For some reason, they start at, like, its crotch and pan up to it having this huge slash now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, this monster is really upset that its face is slashed because it's incredibly vain.
Of course.
Because, of course. That's what all female-coded monsters get, is they're fucking vain.
That's kind of true. There was also the flower monster who is obsessed with itself. We've definitely gotten a couple of those. So then Zed just goes ahead and grows it already. He says because the monster is complaining about being cut too much, so he grows it, which
I'll fix it and also make you huge, okay?
Yeah.
And now that I'm big, my cut's even bigger!
Then we get a red dragon zord fight with the lip syncer monster, which is okay.
It's actually worth noting here because the red dragon actually does something before it turns into, like, battle mode. Like, it actually comes down from those clouds it always goes up into and then breathes fire on it.
Yeah, I think we've seen that maybe one other time, which is always pretty cool. Because it does, you know, it looks like Truckosaurus.
I want an extended scene of that thing, like, flying around and, like, strafing a monster.
That would cost money, Joel.
I love that red dragon design, and I want to see it more.
It is cool, but then it turns into its, like, robot form, and they just fight for a while, which is fine.
Right, because it's easier to put a man in a suit. I get it.
Yes.
Actually, this red zord versus the lip syncer battles, actually pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, the zord battles
are
okay.
It's special, but, like, we haven't had even a decent robot fight in a long fucking time.
No, we had one fairly recently, but we still haven't had many. So, we see... back at the command center, there's some more technobabble, and Trini's like, we've got to do something. Billy says, we'll blow up the whole fucking command center if we push it up
any higher. I don't understand what's supposed to be going on at the command center at all.
I also love that apparently just powering the Zords more is enough to stress the command center. Like, how is running a couple of tests, something they've done all the time, and powering the Zords suddenly too much for the command center to handle.
Yeah, let's just forget, this is just Billy trying to run calculations to find a cure to the mirror thing. Like, that's it. That's all they're doing right now. That's taxing this thing.
Then we get this...
No, I'll tell you what's happening. Fucking Tommy's got Ultima Online running on one of these computers.
I've complained about how Bulk and Skull haven't been well used in season 2.
Ultima Online came out in 1997. Dang.
Oh, sorry, bud.
That's why it's taking so much power. He's got to, like, burst through, like, temporal
physics.
That's
what he's using the time device for.
God damn it.
Oh, yeah, that's something we should never, ever allow ourselves to forget, is that Tommy Oliver has the ability to time travel.
Yeah, he has a time device.
And he has to steal RPGs from the future that his current-day computer hardware can't run, so he's using the command center to play these video games.
So anyway...
He's only doing it so that in a few years when they come out, he can talk all knowledgeable about them on day one.
Oh, God, I hate you all.
Like, he's going to hang around GameStop and be like, oh, you know, if you... like, 20 hours in, if you go do this thing, it's going to be real cool.
Is Tommy the guy who killed Lord British?
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yes, he is.
can we fucking please move on?
No.
Okay,
speaking of moving on, Bulk and Skull decide to move on from this mortal coil.
Tim Allen says new hybrids
and
electric cars are not drivers, rather transportation devices. That said, bring them on. I can't wait to mess around hot rodding a Chevy Volt. It is that enterprising spirit, can do, make it cool, make it better, that'll guide us past all this slow economy and fear.
Yeah, let's talk about hot riding a Chevy Bolt.
No, let's not. Shut up. Okay, listen to the, okay.
Listen.
So Bulk and Skull. Listen,
Bulk and Skull fucking wander into the sea, you guys.
They die! They walk into the ocean and die!
So Bulk and Skull have their machine, and it's pointing at them at the ocean, and they just walk into the ocean and completely submerge themselves. While Skull goes, I love it, and then they are
well,
not.
Like, Skull's like, Bulk, I don't know about this. Like, he realizes they're about to drown, and Bulk's just like, fuck that, Skull, just think of the money. Think of the money. And like, yeah, okay. All right,
and he's going,
think of the money. Think of the.
10 years later, The Office is going to jump the shark, basically recreating this scene.
But like I feel like I said, Bulk and Skull haven't been used especially well. They're not really used well in this episode, but man, the dedication of those two motherfuckers who are just like, we'll like almost drown ourselves, sure.
So,
for the bit.
So what I was hoping the payoff for this was gonna be was that Bulk's cousin just gave them a fish finder with a label attached to it.
Okay. Yeah,
which would explain why it was directing them into the water.
You know, fish finders don't work that way, like, at all, right?
Yeah, but the show doesn't.
Okay. Wait, hold on. Is a fish finder a thing?
Yes, yeah, it's like there are fish finders. There are radars that you attach to boats, and they tell you where to go do your fishings, so that you don't just hang out in the middle of fishless ocean forever.
Yeah.
But isn't just kind of sitting in the boat the point of the fishing?
Yeah, but you want to do it someplace where you can actually
catch something.
Well,
it depends on whether fishing has many purposes.
For funsies, yes, but not for, like, commercial, like, people who are doing it for a living. Also, just so in case, before you get excited, the fish finder does not just have a smiley face that says, yes, fish, and then a sad face that says, no fish on it.
Well, not yet, anyway.
But anyway... So they walk into the ocean and they're dead now, which is sad. I'll miss them.
They just walk in the ocean unseen, unheard for the next 10 minutes.
Yeah. Billy messes with a doohickey to increase
the... Oh, fuck. Are Bulk and Skull Atlanteans?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right.
The thingamajig to increase the doohickey.
I like how you're so desperate to keep from going on another tangent that you're just willing to smile and nod and say, yeah, sure, Mike.
I like
that apparently it doesn't work because we'll just keep interrupting him anyway.
I hate it so much.
In 2009, Tim Allen said, I believe interactive TV is a year away and will never look back.
Wait, when did Twitch come out?
Luke, are you actually just Loki? Like, is your purpose on this earth to just cause chaos in podcasts? Anyway, I don't know. Billy's trying
Billy
to fix this
stupid
thing, and then
fucking
he,
thing.
And then he fixes the thing. He reverse oculates the dilator or something. I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
They go free the frozen rangers with this stupid. It looks like a giant pop-o-matic trouble.
I have one criticism of their plan here, which is Billy waits until they show up to start powering up the device. That seems like a risky move. Why not just power it up before they?
Given that Zach was frozen within 2 seconds of showing up, yes, that seems like a bad.
What if
call.
You can't power it up and then teleport?
Yeah. But also, Billy tells Trini to, like, go distract the monster, and it's kind of wild that Trini doesn't also just immediately get frozen.
Yeah.
Yeah, can we talk about the worst suit fight in Power Rangers history, which happens in this scene?
Sure.
Because what they do is they just all circle around Purse Head for a while Purse Head spins in circles, and that's pretty much the whole fight. Like, it's really stupid. And I don't
know how much
like
money
it.
They paid to get this suit shipped over from Japan.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Maybe they really didn't want to hurt it.
Maybe. But we're not totally done with the suit yet, because what happens is...
No, Tommy tells them all to go away, and he can do it himself.
Tommy gets a call that's like, shit, fucking Jason's in trouble. And then Tommy goes, hey, y'all leave. I can take on this thing by myself, because I'm the fucking cool one. And then they all leave.
And then Molly's favorite scene happens, which is that...
What the fuck?
Purse Monster reaches into its own body, which has got some problems already. and
it pulls out a thing of dental floss, and it just says dental floss on it.
Huge letters. I laughed just so hard when this happened.
Hey, just in case, kids, you don't know what this is, you use it on your teeth, and it's for your dental floss, and that's
and the fact,
and now it's a lasso of truth.
Yeah, yes,
now
it looks
Tommy
like dead.
They highlight that it's dental floss, and then use it to tie up Tommy with like an energy whip is so baffling.
This rotoscope fucking laser dental floss is so fucking goofy.
Can we talk about the fact that it's not rotoscope? Sometimes they do rotoscoping over extant objects.
Right.
That's not what is happening, which means that what actually was happening during the filming of this is that Jason David Frank was just running in circles and doing flips onto the ground.
Just jumping in the air and landing on his face.
It's so fucking great. Like, man, it's really funny. I love this scene. Then he goes,
it's a pretty great scene, but the best thing about it is, so after he gets thrown around like a rag doll like 500 times, he just goes, "Saba, help me." And then Saba just fucking unsheaths himself, floats up into the air, and shoots fucking lasers out of its tiger eyes at the monster.
Lasers.
He's right underneath a tree while he's doing it.
Someone on Power Rangers on the stunt team got hold of a wirework like harness and that they didn't have during the first season.
Need a wirework harness for this though, because you can see in another shot that he's just dangling from this tree.
Oh yeah, no, I'm sorry, Saba. But you can totally see is just on a wire, absolutely. Yeah. But then Tommy,
true to Zach's point though, second season of Power Rangers is full of gratuitous wirework, and I love it.
Right, that's true.
But once he gets freed, he kicks Pursehead, who, again, apparently Tommy learned the power of insane super kicks at some point.
The real leg gate is how powerful Tommy is.
Yeah.
This thing goes sliding for like a fucking minute.
Like, he kicks this guy and the purse just he's going flying across the grass. And then he
just instantly reverts back into Kimberly's mom's purse.
Yeah, yeah, it just is done. One kick. One fucking kick.
Well, he kicked the best part right out of it.
Nothing.
The best part is that before it turns back into Kimberly's purse, it stands up like in a Mortal Kombat game when you win the round, but they get back up first before they fall over. It's really goofy. I don't understand. So that's it. He wins. Good job. But Zed is not worried because his unstoppable lipstick monster, his words, not mine, will crush those Power Rangers.
This monster that he randomly found a piece of junk to make a monster out of. And like, yes, clearly this is the thing that will defeat the Power Rangers. He's so immediately confident about this horseshit.
You know, he's the best. He's going to do it. He's going to kill him every week.
We get my favorite thing that the Thunder Zords do that everybody else hates, which is fly around on that weird platform.
Hold on. Let's not skip this thing. Okay. Because for the first time since getting the new Zords, we now see what the Zords as individuals can do. And what they can do is that the Unicorn Zord apparently can just fucking throw rocks at the monster.
Oh, you're right. I forgot about that.
Is this a unicorn?
It's supposed to be a unicorn.
It's supposed to be a unicorn.
Yikes.
Yeah, the unicorn has earthbending. And oh my god, I forgot how goofy it looks when it throws the rocks.
Yeah, it's real
this
bad.
This feels like a good opportunity to ask a real stupid question that I've had on my mind forever. And okay. Someone else asked this question somewhere else. You guys have called the Zord animation stop motion. They're way too smooth to be stop motion.
That's puppetry.
How do they make these scenes?
It's puppetry.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's puppetry with toys.
Okay. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah,
So the Unicorn Zord throws rocks. The Griffin Zord shoots fireballs out of its mouth. The Firebird Zord, which is my favorite, fucking just shoots a tornado out of its mouth.
Yeah.
And the monster spins around and goes, whoa, 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 whoa.
Okay, so I actually looked up what these Zords have for, like, powers or whatever. Like, it's on the wiki from Die Ranger.
Uh-huh.
And I just want to point out that the Griffin can, sorry, I just lost my place. It can shoot fireballs and rewind time with its great time attack.
That's pretty good. That's a good power.
Okay, like, what about
compared
the others?
To being, the others just are like the unicorn can levitate boulders and hurl them at its opponents with its great gravity attack. Like, the lion, which we don't actually see.
The lion does nothing in this episode. That's what I was leading up to, is that the lion does fucking nothing. We see
powers,
it.
Because its powers are generating mists to confuse the enemy before creating illusions to attack them.
Okay.
Sure. And what about the firebird?
The firebird just fires, it generates whirlwinds, but it also can fire laser blasts. Because apparently that's a wind power.
I like lasers.
That's sick.
Yeah. So yeah.
All those machines are fascinating. But
one of the minor
Tim Allen
lords,
says, odd as it sounds,
oh my god, Luke,
small mechanical bird boxes. Wind them and watch little birds appear and chirp. People are amazed.
hey, Luke, yeah? I want you to check something for me.
Okay.
Does Tim Allen have anything to say about Griffin robots that can control time?
Oh, look, I'll
okay, thank you.
And that should keep because, you busy for us this podcast.
Because that's fucking wild that this thing apparently this is one of the minor Zords, because like the Die Ranger footage makes pretty clear that it cares the most about the red Zord and the white Zord, and the other Zords are just kind of along for the ride. But right. One of them
the
can fucking
Zords
control
literally
time.
Exist to show form as armor for the Megazord. Like,
right.
I was gonna say, is the Die Ranger one of those that's a very red focused?
Yes.
So like the Thunder Megazord just has a time control leg, I guess.
Yep.
You can backwards in time and then kick again and then go backwards in time and kick him again.
So they form up, they do all these individual powers and then they form up that weird, like,
I haven't found anything about time travel per se, but he does say my thoughts and feelings point to multiple universes. Every possible choice has its own future and past, so we flip between universes depending on the choices we make. The more aligned our choices are with the simple path, the less resistance we experience. However, the simple path for our natures is disguised rather well. We by nature make the road rough. That's the fun part, removing the complex and finding it simple.
Let me tell Tim Allen about Homestuck. Yes. That's
so after
perfect.
Tim Allen got busted for cocaine, did he just switch to acid? Like, is that what happened?
He just likes small mechanical bird boxes.
Yeah, everybody does. Who doesn't?
I do want to say, like, actually about the episode that we're discussing. Yeah.
What? Why would you talk about that? Nobody else seems to give a shit.
But here's the thing, I fucking love how dumb this is. So when the robots form, like, the giant super go-kart that the Red Ranger jumps into...
The Die Ranger, like, calls it the Heavenly Chi Palace.
Yeah, whatever.
Fuck yes.
So the music, like, they're playing the Power Rangers song, you know, go-go Power Rangers, like the usual thing that they play during these monster fights.
Yeah.
When they do this bit, for some reason, I don't know if they artificially extend it, but, like, the bit where in the frame, they go, go, you Mighty Morphin Power Ranger!
And, like, oh, yeah, it lasts
like,
longer than it should for some reason. I forgot
about
that. For,
like,
that.
20 seconds.
It's like
it's
the
incredible.
Record got stuck.
Something like that, yeah.
So, yeah, they
also, Squad and Bamboo want to ride the Zord cart.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. That's a great one. I like that part. But, yeah, they're on this Zord flying thing, which that we've definitely seen before. I don't recall if we've seen the Red Ranger Zord jump off it and whack the shit out of something with its stick before.
With its spinny hand.
I mean, it did it last week, but it was riding the Tiger Zord, which I argue is cooler.
Yes.
Also that, cool.
That was cooler. And that's it. They kill the quote-unquote indestructible lipstick monster.
Yeah, and then Zed yells at his minions, who did literally nothing this week.
I don't know that they've ever done anything.
No,
like,
I mean,
sometimes
just,
they do
hey,
things.
Hey, fuck
but...
you guys. You guys fucked this up. And they're just, what are you talking about? Like, we've
That's
just
actually
been watching
happened.
You.
Squad and Babu have gotten chewed out and literally responded, but we didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Finster just dipped. Like, he came out, like, to help celebrate when it looked like they were going to win, and then just bailed when it started inevitably going south.
Fair weather Finster. Up. That's what they call him. So... at this point, they find the purse on the beach. Kimberly is very excited. Hooray, we got my purse back. Super important. And then Balk and Skull come out of the ocean where presumably they've been for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, for this entire fight, however long that is in real time.
Walking on the bottom of the lake like fucking zombies, I guess? Like, how do
what?
It's like, it was, I imagine it being like a really cartoony version of that shot from the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Yeah,
like
I was
the
just
zombie pirates
about
are walking
that
on the bottom of the water.
Oh my god. They come out and they're completely covered in
seaweed.
Goop.
And they find their thing points them to these two little girls.
No, like it's like a circle of six children.
Yes, yes, sorry.
Who are I guess are playing Power Rangers. Is the joke.
Yeah,
and
well,
then
it looks like they have action figures. Like Alpha's marketing endeavors have really stepped up.
Is that how they fund the command center? Did Alpha license toys?
Well, they also power the entirety of Angel Grove with their hydro generators.
Yeah.
But what I love is that the kids offer to let Bulk and Skull play, and Bulk's just like, ah, man, another plan didn't work out. But Skull is fucking stoked. He's just like, yeah, can I be the Red Ranger?
Yeah, apparently Skull secretly would like to be the Red Ranger, which I think is pretty cute. Also, the Rangers are there, and they're like, you did it, guys. You found the Power Rangers. Oh, what fucking morons. Like, god damn it. Why are you guys so mean?
That's the thing, is Bulk and Skull have spent so much time on this fucking finding the Power Rangers quest. They haven't had any time for, like, any real bullying, so... Like in the first season, there was already a feeling that the way the Rangers were shit to Bulk and Skull was disproportionate to how
they
shit to Bulk and Skull were.
Yeah, they haven't.
Bulk and Skull haven't done
been...
anything to anybody.
No.
This season.
Right. They yeah. haven't been even sort of bullies in this season. Like, it's ridiculous.
They're just
they
goofy.
Found a purpose in life, and the Rangers are still just shitting on them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not great. Not my favorite thing ever.
Yeah, no.
But that's it. That's the end of the episode. I think Tommy, I am so excited
speaking
for Tommy's
endings,
continuing.
Speaking of endings, Tim Allen says, somehow I feel life is prepping us for the next phase of this energy field. So death must be and remain a surprise.
Is Tim Allen on some fucking time cube shit?
He kind of is on some time cube shit. Someone asked him what kind of watches he collects, and his answer was, I really like anything handmade, except maybe doorstops and tuna casseroles.
Wait, he doesn't like tuna, handmade tuna casseroles? He wants them from a factory?
Machines only.
I beat my head on the desk and it's still happening. Why is it still happening?
Zach, if you keep doing that, maybe something will click and you'll understand timallen.com.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to beat my head a bunch before I can get down there.
Matrix was a real eye-opener. It hit me on a deep mental level.
Of course it fucking did, Tim Allen, you piece of shit.
Oh, wow, a lot of hatred for Tim Allen all of a sudden.
I mean, by all accounts, he is kind of a dick.
Well, I think that hatred is more for Luke, and I've just misplaced it onto Tim Allen at this point. Oh, God.
Wait,
okay.
Are we sure Luke isn't Tim Allen?
I can't believe I'm the only one that knows about the Tim Allen forum.
I mean,
this is magical.
I've met Luke now. I guess he could have hired somebody to pretend to be him.
Well,
but...
look, here's the thing. If you've already posited that he is Loki the trickster god,
maybe
he just takes so many forms, and one of those forms is Tim Allen.
His favorite form is Tim Allen. Okay, this episode is dumb. I mean, as always, it's fun in the same ways that usually the dumb episodes are fun. Mostly, I'm just excited for more White Ranger Tommy fashion.
Oh, it's bad. Oh, God, y'all, it's bad.
Yeah, it's good. Really fucking terrible. But I'm excited. I mean, I will say on like a more...
you talked about how he looked like he was from a hair metal band. I just keep thinking he's like from an extra from Hey Dude.
Well,
that's
yeah.
That's how he's looking to me.
Yeah, I could see that too. But I will say that on a more like quote-unquote serious note, I forgot that they actually do a fair bit with the Kimberly Tommy, like they go on dates. This is not the only one, and that stuff is kind of fun, especially since they don't know what the fuck a date is. So that's kind of fun.
What? Yeah, what? What is this?
So we always try to take like stuff that is clearly done because the writers are bad or, you know, budget reasons, and we try to force it into canon. Do we think that Kimberly and Tommy just don't know what a date is?
Well, I think Tommy doesn't, and Kimberly's like distracted by those luscious flowing locks enough that she's willing to put up with it.
Yeah.
Man, fair. Who knows? Fucking, they're kids, whatever. They want to go piggyback rides in a park, whatever works for them. I don't care.
That's something we've talked about a lot, is despite ostensibly being teenagers, like, these are characters in a show for small children, and they basically have the mental capacity of small children. Like, I mean,
yeah,
again, what are question marks for? Like, you know.
Yeah. So, let's move on. I've got a couple
Oh, God. What if, like, Tommy, like, is if we're gonna roll with this whole, like, they're basically little kids, what if Tommy and Kimberly's, like, early flirting was, like, he put, like, some chewing gum in her hair, and, like, she, like, kicked some sand in his face.
She pushed him down in the mud.
That's, that's basically what she did to get Skull interested in her.
And then he made her eat a worm, and then, like, it escalated from there.
Right.
Yeah, and now they're both into, like, really kinky, rough sex, because that's how that goes.
No, because we've established that Tommy Oliver has never had sex and may not know what it is.
Oh, boy. Oh, God, y'all.
Poor Tommy. All right,
let's move on. Molly.
I've got a couple questions and notes from listeners. If you have something you want to send us, a question, a correction, whatever, you can send that to teenswithtude@gmail.com, at teenswithtude on Twitter, or the Teenagers with Attitude Facebook group. And just, you know, whatever. It doesn't have to be about Power Rangers. It usually is, but
it could be about Tim Allen. Or just about how great you think Jason
David
Frank's
hair is. No, it can't be about Tim Allen.
All your Tim Allen questions.
I hate you so much. So anyway, we've got a couple here. My favorite... oh no, I've completely misplaced it. Fuck. God damn it.
Okay, Luke, you know what to do.
Yep. Hold on. Where was the one that I had prepped for this? I had one ready.
No, I moved away from it.
I'll find it.
So anyway, I've found it now.
Ah, shit. Too slow.
So, oh yeah, right. I forgot. Buff Drinklots on Twitter sent in not a correction, I guess, but, filling us in. We were wondering how Nimrod turned into a insult when originally it was the name of a great hunter in
mythology.
You guys
should have had me on, because I had the answer to that.
Okay, well, I'm gonna say his answer, and then you tell me if it's the one you have. He says that it's because Bugs Bunny called Elmer Fudd a Nimrod, ironically, because he's a shitty hunter, and then it became
insult.
And, like, nobody knew the actual meaning of Nimrod, so they just assumed it was an
insult
for being an idiot.
Wow.
Fresh shit.
I love that Looney Tunes was too smart for people and altered the definition of the word.
That's
amazing.
Crazy. Yeah, that's awesome.
I thought that was really interesting.
I was assuming it was referenced like the Bible character that was just like, yeah, hey, dumbass, why don't you go build a tower to the stars, dummy?
Wait, is that guy? Oh, that's right. You told me this before. I forgot.
And Joel, why would I know that?
Well, Molly, you weren't there. I'm more yelling at the other guys because...
No, I just mean in general. Why would I know Nimrod? Why would I know that?
Oh, okay, right. I forgot. Multiple people, like 4 or 5, wrote in, thank you so much, to tell me I was not having a weird fever dream and imagining a wrestler dragging another dead wrestler's, another wrestler's dead father away with a truck. That did in fact happen. It was in the mid 90s, and Big Boss Man was having a feud with
Big Show.
Yeah, Big Show. And he went to Big Show's father's funeral knocked everybody out, attached his dead father's fucking casket to his truck and drove it away, at which point Big Show jumped on the casket and rode it out of the fucking cemetery, which is the craziest shit I've ever seen.
That's great.
Yeah,
are there any wrestlers
sure
whose
exists.
Nickname like starts with the word small instead of big?
It is weird that they both started with big. I don't think so.
I mean, being
Vince McMahon will not
small,
hire you if you're small.
Small anything doesn't really have any room in the ring.
Yeah, also,
no,
Vince
I mean, there's plenty of room in the ring.
Vince McMahon, god damn it. I mean, The Miz is small, but I don't think he's ever gone by.
Yeah,
like
Daniel Bryan and The Miz are very small wrestlers comparatively.
Call him
like,
Lil Mizzy.
Right.
They do not call him Lil Mizzy.
They should, though.
Yeah, Vince McMahon just doesn't like people who are smaller than, I don't know, like 6'5", basically.
Yeah, he only hires really big people, so I don't know.
Unless you're Alexa Bliss, in which case you're the tiniest human alive.
She's really little. It's weird.
She's like 5 foot tall, I have to imagine. She's tiny.
But yeah, so I just...
She's 5 foot one.
I can't
believe
that happened. Wait, what?
She's 5 foot one.
Oh, nice.
Alexa Bliss. Yeah, she's super small. She's great.
But yeah, I literally was not sure that had actually happened. So thank you for sending it in and correct and letting me know that I was not crazy.
Or for corroborating his delusion, I guess.
It could be. We could be in an alternate universe where that didn't really happen, but everyone remembers it happening.
Exporting our reality. We export powerful images to cultures not used to such a rich media diet of our version of reality. We've been brought up with free press, the mass media, and the powerful thrust of advertising.
How
and the made-up realities
did you pull
they
that
accompany.
Off?
We
How
understand
did you do
the
that?
Elements and this game, and even with this understanding, it is hard for us to resist the constant pressure to be something or buy something because of what we see. I feel strongly other cultures are getting distorted ideas about the
Were
world.
Were you waiting
certainly
for
about
me to
us
make
from our
a
own
Mandela
images.
Effect
Without
reference
the protection
so
of the
that
Bill of Rights
you
and
could
Constitution and the advantage of the social framework to understand our clever shifting sands.
He's using a time unicorn.
Unreal.
There's no way he's not on that time unicorn.
How does other cultures interpret this? Should we be more responsible for the content and images we export and more accountable for their impact on others?
I want to die.
Luke, that very question you just asked is quite relevant to this exact conversation.
To Power Rangers, at least.
No, to this fucking podcast.
Oh, sure. I hate this.
Oh
I hate this
real
show.
Questions?
I'm
Are there real questions?
No, that's it. We're done. I don't have anything else. This is it. I'm mad now.
Oh.
Luke made me not want to do the show anymore.
So tune in next week for the first episode of Talking About Tool Time.
No, we won't do that. I will not be a part of this. I absolutely refuse.
Oh, man. So the lady that's like emceeing the beginning of an episode of Tool Time says, "What time is it?" And then the unicorn robot is in the audience goes, "It's irrelevant. I can control time."
All right.
That
that's
lady
it.
Is Heidi, Mike. I'll have you know.
God. Isn't it a few different characters throughout the course of that show?
Yeah,
no,
it's not
no,
always
it's,
the same person.
Pamela Anderson was in the first season of Home Improvement, and then she got better roles, so they hired on the lady who played Heidi, and she was there for the rest of it.
I want to die now. I'm
Shout
just going
to
go jump
Heidi
off
for
a
sticking
cliff.
Around for the rest of that
yep,
show.
Luke has literally...
Her name? I'll look that up.
Luke has destroyed my will to live with his
Someone
Tim
asked
Allen
when
bullshit.
The appropriate time to say I love you is in a relationship, and Tim Allen suggested... My opinion is it's fluid overflowing the glass. I look at my daughters and it just bubbles up and I say it because I can't contain it.
How, okay. I'm going to engage with this. How the fuck do you end up on the Tim Allen forums? Like, how do you fall into that? How do you become a person who spends a large portion of their social time on the Tim Allen forum?
Zach, let me counter that question with another question. How do you end up on Rager Wiki?
I'm a big fan. Okay, I see.
Gotcha. There are 12,305 registered users on the Tim Allen forum.
That's fucking upsetting.
That's so
that's
many.
Deeply
that is
disturbing.
That is too many.
All right,
how many does
As far as I can tell, Tim Allen himself abandoned this website in about 2009, but it's still being posted in today.
I'm ending this show maybe forever. I'm not sure yet. I haven't decided. Molly, before I fucking take this thing out back and shoot it, do you have anything to plug this week?
You can find me on Twitter at your friend Molly with a Y-E-R. By the time this goes up, the Amory score might be out. Which is the song by song comprehensive Coheed and Cambria podcast.
God, I can't believe you're doing that, but also I can believe you're doing that at the same time.
90% of my podcast output is mutual dares, and
I bet you won't fucking make this stupid idea into a podcast.
You can still find me on audioentropy.com. You can find me at Totally Reprise, which is my main podcast. Let me tell you about Homestuck, which we're putting out Act 6 this... by the time you hear this, it'll be out for a couple weeks. Act 6 will have started, which means we're about halfway done. We did it.
Oh, God, that fucking comic.
Also, Transmission Radio should have a new episode out, and... Movies with Molly might be up. I'm doing too much, y'all. I gotta stop, but I can't stop.
Oh yeah, do you want to? I don't stop. You should describe Movies with Molly real quick.
I haven't seen any movies ever except a couple. So everybody at Audio Entropy got really fucking tired of it and made me a list of movies to watch. And now I'm watching them with people. So the first episode is about Casablanca with Ashley.
What a good way to start it. I mean,
I mean, like legitimately, it turned out really well.
Yeah,
so.
One of the best movies ever made. That's kind of a strong showing.
Yeah. So you
and,
can,
and
yeah,
surely
so
you're going to, the second episode is going to follow up with a film of equal caliber.
I mean, Luke and I are going to watch Speed Racer with my girlfriend Pris, so it's going to be great.
Yeah, that is as good of a movie as Casablanca, if not better. So,
yeah, I mean, so it's going to be great.
Luke, I wasn't being sarcastic. I fucking love that movie.
It's a really good movie.
So we're going to watch that. Look out for that. I just have to edit it because I'm a lazy shit. So just, it might be out there. It might not. I don't know.
Cool.
But yeah, audioentropy.com. You guys might know it. Donate to the site so we can keep it hosted.
Yeah. Mike, did you want to, you did a thing recently. Do you want to say anything to the nice people who showed up for it?
Oh, for the Audio Entropy Jackbox stream. Yeah, that was a great time. We should have a video of that up on the YouTube channel at some point.
Hopefully it'll be out by the time this airs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was a fun time. Keep an eye out on the Facebook group and on Audio Entropy social media just in general. We'll announce more streams in the future.
I pretty systematically destroyed Jules, our local tokusatsu expert, on it, so, you know.
Yeah, we spent like a solid hour kink shaming her, so that was fun.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that was even before I got in and just ruined her.
So if you want to see that, keep an eye out. And then that'll do it for us this week. Come back next week.
Also, I should probably plug Going Pear-Shaped because I haven't been plugging that in a while. It's a podcast I did with Matt.
And
it's about all kinds
fun.
Of things.
Yeah. It does have all kinds of things. That is one thing I will say for
certain.
I mean,
certain. And unlike this show, it's intended to have all kinds of things.
Yeah, we just do it anyway, even though we're supposed to be doing something else, you guys. All right, that's going to do it for us this week.
You know what? You didn't give me an opportunity to plug anything, but I accept that. I deserve it.
No, you've lost your privileges. You can do
Go
it next week.
Go listen to Cosmic Call.
Yes, it's very good. You can plug stuff next week, Luke, if you don't read Tim Allen at me.
That's fair.
Okay. All right. For Teenagers with Attitude, I've been Zach.
I've been Joel.
I've been Tim Allen.
No, you haven't.
He kind of has.
I don't think so, Tim.
Oh, my God. Molly, say your name.
No, Molly. No, he said no. You haven't. He didn't say Mike, and I was waiting for him to say Mike, and that's it.
No, I said I don't think so, Tim. That was my thing. But yeah, I'm Mike.
I know,
Hi.
But you didn't say Mike. And Molly, I'm leaving.
Okay, may the power protect you always, except Luke. I hate this. Goodbye forever.
Doop 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 doop.
Would you like to study with me later, for the test?
Sure. I like that.
Great. I'd like that, too.
Bye, Richie.